RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Bell on the drums and
Beans. It's Monday. We've made it through another weekend.
Magically.
And, you know, obviously it would be stupid of us, or not stupid, but it would be crazy of us not to talk about this whole virus mess. And I tweeted something the other day that said, basically, I'm at the point now where I'm starting to ask, what aren't they telling us?
Like, in what?
Well, I said the reaction to it doesn't compute even from the administration. The lengths which we're going to for the threat don't jive for me. And I'm left wondering what they aren't telling us.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's I don't really trust anybody. I don't trust the administration either.
I don't trust anyone either. I don't know. I know that President Trump yesterday did his press conference and came out and he said, you know, stop running to the grocery store. The supply lines are fine. We're not going to be going through a crisis in supply, which I can attest that it was ridiculous to see the people the way they're acting at the store when there's no need for it. Like, there's nothing stopping you from getting food like you normally do. You're not eating more. I don't understand it.
All I know is that if we actually had a real crisis, like, let's say Yellowstone blew.
Oh, gosh.
Let's say we had a super volcano blow. Let's say that there was an EMP incident. We lost the power grid, failed or something like that. We would be we are pathetic.
Yeah,
we're pathetic. It's not even just the rating of the stores. I saw these compilations of people fighting. I saw a man get stabbed with a wine bottle over toilet paper. I saw him get stabbed with the shards of a broken wine bottle over toilet paper. We're gross. We're gross.
I know. It makes you kind of sad to be a human.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And then, you know, this is something that I recorded from the press conference yesterday, and I thought that it was very poignant. Fueling this fever, this crazy panic, is the media, right? I mean, you can't ignore it at this point. It's just clear. Listen to this. This was President Trump at the White House giving his press conference.
I'm very happy, and I can tell you that I'm very happy. I didn't expect this, and I like being surprised. So our vice president is doing an incredible job. He's going to take over, and I will see you probably tomorrow. Thank you very much.
That's the jackals. That's the jackals that you're entrusting to give you information. You hear that?
I hate them all.
Those are the jackals that the American public is forced to stomach for information.
Oh, but they were just trying to bring the truth to the American people,
right,
though.
Right.
That's all they were trying to do, Tracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Should bars and restaurants close? That's the last question that made it out. I thought it was hysterical.
What are they going to do with their lives if the bars close? What are they going to do? Oh, my God.
Then there was the attack on the girl who tweeted out, I just went to a crowded Red Robin and I'm 30. It was delicious and I took my sweet time eating my meal because this is America and I'll do what I want. You would have thought that she was a serial killer who had gone out and murdered 700,000 people.
You would think that she is a schizophrenic. And she filled the room with other versions of herself.
Well, that's...
She's just one... If she went to a crowded Red Robin, she's just one of many.
I started asking a question that was meant to be sarcastic, but not. I said, why... Like, because the responses to it were, you're going to infect people. And I said, why are people who have compromised immune systems and are in a risk category out at Red Robin?
Yeah. Those are the people who should not be out of the house. If you're over the age of 65 with diabetes and hypertension, though, that's who should probably limit their time in Red Robin.
Mm-hmm. But then people were like, but she could take it home to an old relative.
Well, she didn't put any of that in the tweet, did she?
No.
She didn't say, I went and took my sweet ass time in Red Robin, then went home to cuddle with my grandfather.
No, she didn't. But we don't know how smart she is, Frank. She may. She may.
We need to get Jake Tapper on this right away.
I would say. Absolutely.
You know what? Thank God for this damn virus. If you're a Democrat, thank God for this virus, because holy shit, what the hell else do you have to talk about in your stupid debate?
Did you watch any of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw the marionette show last night. It was awful. It's getting worse and worse. At least with more people on stage, it was funnier. It's getting worse and worse with less people on stage.
I have sent myself some clips. Here.
I said, I got a great idea. You're going to tell
Senator me. Senator Sanders.
The Ebola crisis, in my view, exposes the dysfunctionality of our healthcare system.
Yeah.
It also exposes the dysfunctionality of your fucking, excuse me.
I said six. You have to bleep that one.
Woo, okay, the F-bomb.
Write down the timestamp.
I got it.
Yeah, this exposes the dysfunctionality of this country. Being a free market, or it used to be, I want to destroy everything. Everything that came out of his mouth exposes the dysfunction of freedom, and I want to get rid of it all quickly. And what is he really saying? Just you want to talk about romantic thinking and mystical thinking. Everything that came out of their mouths you would think it's just so simple. It's just so simple. All we need is more doctors. All we need is more money and more medical equipment. It's all we ever needed. Why have we not thought about this before? That's all we needed.
And it's crazy too, because everybody's talking about this testing, how it's going to, you know, it's going to, listen, the testing doesn't change anything from yesterday. Okay. What the testing is going to do is just confirm people that already have this thing. It's not going to change anything. What is it going to change other than to fuel panic? There are people that I considered very logical, reasonable people freaking out over this. Freaking out. And when I ask them why, they really can't answer me. They don't know.
Yeah, I think about the testing aspect of it all the time. What the hell does it matter?
Listen, I'm going to be honest, and I've been seeing this all over, and I was thinking it before too. This was a brutal, quote, flu season. The only issue is that a lot of the people were testing negative for the flu. This was back in early December, mid-December, during Christmas time, right after Thanksgiving. You know, I know a lot of people that got sick and had pneumonia out of nowhere and, you know, obviously made it through. But they didn't have a positive test for anything that would, no flu positive. No, guess what, people? I would be shocked if this hasn't been here for months already, and now we're just catching up.
It's been here since at least November.
Yep.
At least.
And, you know, everybody went along their business as usual just because we didn't have a name for it. The doctors treated it. The hospitals weren't overwhelmed. I don't think that other than in places where there are a high population of elderly, like that nursing home, that the hospitals are overwhelmed now.
I'm just, it just makes me wonder about the administration's response. If they just feel compelled to have to continue to accelerate and, I don't know, to just continue to outdo themselves because of pressure from the hysteria that's being built up in society. I don't know.
I just have to wonder, like, what in God's name would be serious enough for President Trump to tank the economy over? Or if he doesn't do it, is he damned? Or if he does do it, is he damned? I just feel like something, like, I'm not saying there's some nefarious conspiratorial thing going on. I'm just saying, I feel like we're not being told something here and we're not idiots.
Well, that would be part of a conspiracy is discretion amongst those who have all the information. I mean, public appearances are being managed by everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody in different ways. And yeah, you say, okay, 60 confirmed deaths here in the United States and we're tanking the economy. We're putting another $1.5 trillion into the stock market. We're, you know, I mean, the only thing left now that the interest rates are down to zero, the only thing left is I don't even know if it's possible through an act of Congress for Congress to start buying stock. It's an economic war, 100%. Well, up until this point, we've had over 325,000 hospitalizations because of the flu this year, over 20,000 deaths because of the flu this year alone. And we're tanking the economy, over 60 confirmed deaths, even if that balloons to five times its size. What is going on here? Yeah. And now the Federal Reserve lowering the interest rate, that was the last weapon they had. So we're free balling now.
I said today, like, this is spiraling out of control and came by way of China. Election interference is a sliver of what the Chinese have accomplished here, whether they intended to or not.
I saw Michael Savage say something similar, and he said, did China conquer the West by pretty much by only sacrificing a few guinea pig people in Wuhan?
Yeah. All they had to do was create the appearance of, you know, there's been things coming out that all those videos of people dropping dead on the streets were fake. All they had to do was create a panic like this and look at what they've accomplished. Now, to be fair, their own economy has been destroyed as well. So you've got to weigh that next to.
Yeah, but they don't care. You know, you're talking about a communist government that in itself has been totally fine with the killing of tens of millions of people and the covering up of probably tens of millions more. This is nothing. Nothing. They consider the average person bugs.
I just want to say to everybody out there, like, I am talking right now to Frank as though I would be talking to, like, a good friend on the street, you know? We're just spitballing here, so don't, you know, take anything we're saying and, like, start saying, there's no other way to get through this other than to talk about it like this. Because, any rational person is probably sitting there looking around like, what the hell is going on now? What the hell is going on? I feel like I'm in some alternate universe, Frank.
Well, yeah, because and this is why I always say don't ever knock somebody for trying to theorize and make sense of what's going on. We have every right in the world to speculate when we don't get any straight answers from anybody. Now, I totally see the logic and the reasoning in the president urging calm throughout this whole thing and just making sure that during any kind of an outbreak, just use discretion. I mean, do you know that we lost, I think, like 650,000 people to the Spanish flu here in the United States in like 1918? I think even President Wilson came down with it. You know, we still at that point did not sacrifice our integrity, our personal liberty for this. People, local governments, congregations, churches, businesses, they made decisions on their own. We're going to close our doors for a few weeks. We're staying home. And that's it. They maintained their liberty. You see what's going on now with these state and local governments, with the de facto martial law. I saw one mayor or one somebody's, you know, somewhere in the Midwest looking to ban Illinois. Is that what the alcohol and firearm sales are suspended?
It was one of those states. Hold on. I'm going to find out, but keep talking.
But, you know, it's just this is what I'm talking about. I'm okay with urging calm and weathering the storm because there's just less and less we can do. But on the other hand, you have a media that only ever takes a position after the president takes a position, because whatever he says, they're going to find a way to undercut it and go to the opposite. So when you see that kind of a relationship going on between the press and aspects of the government, you realize you can't trust anything there because it's not about truth. It's just some kind of a gotcha game that these freaks at CNN and ABC are playing. So you can't go there for any kind of solace. And then the internet is full of just anonymous
crap.
Oh my God. It's just, it's like one big psyop, the internet.
Yeah, it is. And it was Illinois. And I said this at the time. There was, in the provision that they signed, there was the power to ban the sale of firearms and ammunition as well as alcohol. She never exercised that, and she said she has no plans on doing it.
Okay, but yeah, but the option is there for some reason.
Yeah,
why?
Well,
why?
Well, I mean, you're right, and you know, it stems into such bigger questions, like the internet. I would recommend everybody just turn it off. Like, stop going to social media. Like, I got a message from somebody that said that somebody they know somebody who's somewhere in government and told them that everything's going to be shut down starting tomorrow.
No, I heard starting today. I was told, make sure you have at least 3 weeks worth of provisions by 5 p.m. today.
Right, right. So now what do you see? You see the entire food supply being ravaged by people who don't need to go ravage it. After just yesterday, President Trump said, guys, please calm down on the buying of the food. You know, we've got supply lines. They can restock. We're not in any food shortage. Just take a breath and, you know, buy as normal. You don't need to do this. Someone on the internet somewhere started some rumor. Somebody took it, then pretended they knew the person it was coming from and spread it to all these people who are now out hoarding food as though we are in the Armageddon. And it snowballs from there.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Everybody has, there is a complex that people get once they open up a Twitter account. I have a source. You know, you don't.
You have 4chan and some idiot who decided to post something. Exactly.
I read something from, you know, and then every once in a while, even I get callers. People, I have so many great callers that come on in from all over the world. But every once in a while, I just hear somebody who calls on in. They're struggling to put thoughts together because they're piecing together fragments of things they heard on other channels, and they don't have an understanding of what they're saying. But it's like everybody's got to relax and take a little bit pressure off themselves to try to the pressure that everybody feels to figure out the world. And
yeah.
I'm skeptical about this. Like what? Like you're in the middle of a film noir film. Everybody feels at one way one time or another as they are clicking around the internet that they are walking through some dark, rainy alleyways trying to figure out a murder case. That's not what we're doing here. And it really gets to people's heads, I think.
No, it does. And I have not tried to figure out this nonsense, even though it's my job to. I just, like, there's no way we're going to figure it out. There's no smoking gun here that we're going to ever see. It's just not going to happen. What really needs to happen, regardless, is for you can't change anything that's going on right now. I mean, in other words, if the virus, whatever it is, however deadly it is or not deadly it is, or whoever's going to, you can't change the fact that it's here. So take personal responsibility, take a deep breath, and just relax. Try to relax a little bit. There's nothing that we're going to do. You understand what I mean? I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. If everybody would just collectively all at once say, okay, enough is enough of this craziness, we would be okay.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what is it? There's another aspect of this whole thing with the media, especially telling everybody that Trump has called the virus itself a hoax instead of the hysteria reporting being the hoaxy part, the virus being real, the news being a calamity. And you look at this whole thing and you say, okay, well. We've been tracking this spread for at least a month and a half before the media even gave it a look because they're so preoccupied with impeachment. And you know that it spreads pretty easily. But
like any other cold virus or flu virus.
Yeah, but it's just not that deadly. You know, so when it comes to there are groups that it can really compromise and it shoots up, and then it's almost like with any other kind of thing. You know, Bernie Sanders loves to go up there and say, still last night, that women make 80 cents on the dollar that a man does. Okay, well, what you're doing there, well, you're taking averages and you're taking away any kind of context. When you look at the breakdown of the age groups and you look at the breakdown of relative health levels of those age groups, you see that it is relatively very survivable. Very survivable, unless you're old and already sick. But they average all the age groups and the mortality rates together and say, this is killing people at a 4% clip. You know, and I'm saying, well, and nobody really hones in on this. because everybody's making money off of mm-hmm. off of the views.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that really gets me. It's like, yeah, it's spreading, but it's not as deadly as other diseases that we deal with on a seasonal basis. Like, you can mark it in your calendars when flu shows up, which means that we're going to lose about 40,000 to 60,000 Americans. According to Bernie Sanders, that every last one of those people who died from the flu should have never died from the flu. They just never had access to one of his communist doctors, you see. He wants to stop death. They're promising that there is a remedy for death itself. This is how far torn away from, you know, reality we are. And it's also, if you want to get a little bit more historical and cultural about it, this is why they destroy family and community and religion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you have some time in life otherwise to contemplate your mortality and contemplate the time you have on Earth and what maybe your best purpose during that time could be. And you have some kind of you rest assured that there might be something else for you, you know, afterwards on a spiritual level. None of that's gone because Bernie Sanders and his government is God, you know. So that is, so those are the people you pray to save from death and all that. It's really sick. And if it wasn't for this virus, what the hell they'd be talking about last night? It was one crisis after another. They went from corona crisis to climate crisis. It's just crisis after crisis. I can't stand it.
I know. It's over and over and over and over again. It must really suck to live in that sort of mindset all the time.
Oh, and to believe it. Yeah. That must blow, man. Especially if you're one of those climate assholes. You have been sitting around waiting for the ice caps to drown you
for years,
for at least, I mean, in this last generation, at least since, you know, the turn of the century with Al Gore and his Inconvenient Truth. You've been waiting for that. Wasn't 2015 his high watermark?
Yes.
Supposedly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. How awful.
I just got a tweet underneath my hoarding grocery stores tweet. They're going to announce the Stafford Act this week. Planes, trains, and buses will stop. Interstate travel will be banned. Going to need to show ID and take temps if you travel for at least 4 weeks. The Stafford Act was already implemented. That's what the federal emergency disaster stuff is. They already did that. So what do you mean? What do you mean? Who told you?
First of all, what I would say, and it's not, may not be popular, but if anything like that ever happened, it is our duty to defy it.
Exactly.
It is real. It may put your life. It would be as dangerous as door-to-door gun confiscations to defy any kind of federal or any roadblock, whatever. It's your duty to define it. To defy it.
You can't drop down and you can't. No matter what, you can't do that. You just can't let them do that, regardless of who's the president.
But that's the problem here, Tracy. I don't think, and it's one of those things like, well, okay, well, if you don't pay your taxes, I won't pay my taxes. If you don't go take the SAT, I won't go take the SAT. If you're just going to be five patriots in a sea of TP hoarding assholes, then what the hell? It's just, there's such a bigger problem we have going on over here. The way that we have responded to the messaging in the news tells you so much more about where we are mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say it's our duty to resist stuff like that. But at the same time, if I came across some kind of a roadblock or a checkpoint and I start contemplating my own life, my own family, my own goals, and I contrast against the bigger culture here in the country, do I really want to even sacrifice my life for that? You know,
I really don't know that's going to, if that happens, we are going to be having a completely different conversation.
Yeah. But like I said, that was part of the 5 p.m. rumors that were sent my way.
Yeah. Well, so what happened? Did it happen?
No, no, that was for today. 5 p.m. So it hasn't happened.
Okay. So 3:30 today is the press conference. And you'd have to expect that there will be news of this outside of random Twitter users. Oh, here we go. NSC, text message rumors of a national quarantine are fake. There is no national lockdown. CDC Gov has and will continue to post the latest guidance on COVID-19.
There you go.
There you go. Right there. And again, if you feel, oh goodness, I don't even know what to say.
It's just, you know, you never thought that we thought that we'd be able to move on to something, but the escalation, we're definitely living through some history here.
We sure are.
Definitely living through some history here. To ignore it would be to ignore the 9,000-pound elephant. But yeah, that's where we're at right now. We'll see what happens next, I guess.
Next, we're going to move on, Frank. That's what we're going to do. We're going to move on. Some interesting stuff coming out of the EU, okay? There is a gentleman, Greek government, and you're going to forgive me, well, I don't know. There is a video that he's released. The former Greek finance minister has recorded meetings in the EU. He has recorded secretly the EU meetings from 2015. And he's doing something called EuroLeaks. He says, why now? Because there's no transparency in the EU. And he is going to release the recordings of all of these meetings where he explains in this 10-minute long video that, you know, how they try to take money, how they try to hoard it, how the bigger countries step all over the little ones, how the EU is corrupt, how there's no transparency, it's going to be blockbuster. I mean, he's going to basically blow the EU open. And he has all the recordings, and he said, why now? Because there's no transparency in the EU.
Oh, man.
Full transcripts available at EuroLeaks and the...
What is this going to be all about? Migration and everything?
Everything. Everything. He wants to democratize Europe. And he wants to get rid of this crazy totalitarianism in the EU. He's tired of it. You can get the... transcripts of all these meetings that he recorded. I'm going to be following that closely. That is something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. And then there is Sidney Powell's amazing hour-long talk at Hillsdale College over the weekend.
You know what? I have a couple of clips of this for my own show tonight.
Yeah.
Especially, you know what I'm talking about, the laptop.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What the heck? That is fireworks, especially. Especially without, have you seen the slight uptick in Eric Prince smear jobs lately?
Oh, of course. Very close look. Yep. Now, listen, it's not a surprise to me. This is the story I've been shouting from the rooftops for years. You too. That Eric Prince interview is where this is all coming from. And you know, there were other people that had stepped forward at the time too. And Sidney Powell just happened to talk about it.
Yeah, and let me just tie that together a little bit more there too, and what Tracy means by that is, and you'll hear the clip. Actually, it has everything to do with Eric Prince because she's directly quoting him. Okay, it's not that he's the only one that's ever spoken about the laptop and what might be on it, but his descriptions of the laptop is what she's directly quoting.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yeah, and I have. It here. Here we go.
Because the Espionage Act very clear violations of the Espionage Act and really no issue about intent despite President Obama proclaiming otherwise. And of course you realize the reason that Hillary had to be protected was because he was writing her on that secret server using an alias, which shows that he damn well knew and had approved in advance her use of the secret unsecured server. On top of that, there's the Anthony Weiner laptop, which I don't know if you heard this. I wrote an article about that, too. 675,000 Clinton emails when they got Anthony Weiner's laptop in a search warrant because of all his sex perversion issues. It was all the Clinton emails, the Clinton Foundation, her Secretary of State emails, Huma Abedin's emails. Lots of people emailed Huma as a proxy for Hillary, and it included what Comey called the the golden emails, because they were the BlackBerry backup emails that they were supposedly just looking for everywhere very diligently. Well, guess what they did when they found them on the Wiener laptop? They got a search warrant for things that didn't include the BlackBerry backup emails. So when they told us, when he stood there and said that day, oh, you know, we've reviewed all the emails now, there's nothing there, that was a bald-faced lie. They specifically did not look at the BlackBerry backups, and they didn't look at a fraction of the emails on Anthony Weiner's laptop. So one of the things, if I were the president, I'd do is demand the Anthony Weiner laptop and get it to the most trusted person in the military to take apart everything on it and then start using it. There's a lot that can be prosecuted, I have no doubt, on that laptop. In fact, I heard that the New York police officers who saw some of it, even though they're hardened investigators, literally had to go throw up.
Oh, Jesus, please. 3 years. The fact that she is still doing book tours and appearances it makes me want to throw up. It makes me want to throw up. And I'll tell you, even though justice is justice, 3 years, the longer this goes, the more petty it looks.
Yeah.
The more petty going after all these people 3 years after the fact, when they committed sedition, treason, crimes against humanity and children. The fact that 3 years even went by is disgusting. I know everybody's got to get their ducks in a row, but this is gross.
I don't even have words for it, because when I first put this story of the corroboration of Eric Prince out, wow.
You're a conspiracy theorist. You're a Pizzagate conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's written in the IG report on the emails.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess Sidney Powell is a conspiracy theorist as well.
The biggest.
And you have to be a real dummy to have in October 2016 received word that there was more. We found the Wiener laptop, and it was mirrored, and we found 600,000+ emails that have been synced onto that laptop, and they were able to get through all of them with discernment in a couple of days.
It was like 48 hours or something to that effect.
Yeah, and of course Comey said, it was all duplicates. Oh, you want to know something? If he came forward and he said that we found 100 email chains with classified material, we found a dozen that was top secret, you know, we found a half a dozen that was special access programs and confidential emails. He went through the laundry list of everything. Everything. Just one of those charges would have put you or I away for at least 15 years.
Easy.
Just one. So for him to have said all of that on July 5th, 2016, and say that we found all of those email threads again on the laptop of someone who should not have had it, and still, it should have been double the charges. How again? Oh, no, it's nothing to see here. It's just all the things that we ignored the first time around. Seriously.
Here's another thing. Someone asks a great question about Andrew McCabe, Frank.
McCabe, it's a very...
With Attorney General Barr now in charge, would you comment on the decision to not prosecute Andrew McCabe?
Yes, the McCabe issue. I read the declination on McCabe. It's a very narrow issue. They've only declined to prosecute him on the statements about his leaks to the Wall Street Journal. I am okay with that, because I think they are looking at McCabe with a much bigger fish to fry. And I have heard that there are two sealed indictments waiting in the wings. I'm not sure what they're waiting for. At first I would have assumed that they were definitely waiting for the ridiculous impeachment issue to be over. But I'm not sure now what the answer to that might be, other than maybe some people are trying to make a deal. But I think we will see some indictments within the next few months of the people who really need to be indicted.
Yeah. And then what do you know?
Coronavirus panic.
Oh, yeah. Then what do you know? Impeachment to a week and a half of a Russia interference 2020 intel briefing, and then right into coronavirus panic that they are going to stretch out at least into May or June. That's what they're going to do, or they're going to try at least. I mean, we're only, what, less than two weeks away from April. So maybe they'll be able to get a month and a half more out of this before people completely tune out.
I think people are going to tune out a lot faster than that.
I hope so. I hope that it's over by Easter.
I hope that it's over, but yeah, by the time that everybody goes back to school. You know, I people are sick of it now. This is getting ridiculous. And I'm about, like, seriously, I'm done with people spreading all this rumor and bullshit. I'm done with it. If you don't have factual information to support something, just reconsider whether or not you should be sharing it. That's the only way that we're going to stop this nonsense. However, I will say that a lot of the funny stuff coming out of this is pretty damn funny. I got another Trump impression, Frank.
Oh, let's hear it.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
And my daughter just actually sent me another one, too. She's really on top of this on TikTok, which I did start. It's Tracy Beans. Hopefully, I'll be throwing some more up there, or some up there. I don't even have one up there yet, but I was thinking about it. Here we go. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Obama.
Oh, hold on. This is Trump and Obama have a sleepover. Okay. Come on. Come on.
Obama. Excuse me.
Oh, yes, we can. Donald.
Well, since you're awake, I've been thinking just a little bit, not a lot, but perhaps just a little bit about maybe telling me a scary story, not the scariest story because, you know, it's a little bit late, but, and I've heard some of probably the scariest stories that anyone's ever heard. You look at some of these stories, they're frightening, and I think, you know, we want to hear perhaps another story, perhaps, just perhaps.
Bro, stop waking me up.
Just one more story, not too scary, just what?
All right, fine, Donald. There once was a country with open borders.
Oh, my God.
And this new one I haven't heard yet. This is Trump and Obama play hide and seek.
Mm-hmm.
3, 2, 1, ready or not, here we come, Donald.
Well, we are hiding in a tremendous hiding spot, probably one that millions, if not billions of people would not be able to find. I think Obama is not going to find us.
Why are you speaking? I hear you. I see you. You're behind the curtain.
Excuse me. That's wrong. It's totally wrong. We're not behind the curtain. We are not there, frankly.
Donald, the game is over.
It's not over until, frankly, you find me. And I don't know that you found me. You know, I think this is probably just another witch hunt.
Well, look, Don, if you're not behind the curtain, then I guess I'm just going to enjoy this chocolate cake by myself.
He comes out. Really funny.
Oh, and that guy's on just TikTok?
Yeah, he's on TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah, his name is at Evan Berger on TikTok.
Is he impressionist or just he does those two really well?
I don't know. I've seen only those two of him on his TikTok because I haven't really gone through it as much as I could. Pretty funny.
You know, that's the funny thing there too. You want to talk about the those debates last night. For them to spend an hour on this this health issue, to open up and then take turns talking about how they're trying to one up each other with how little they want to enforce immigration.
Yeah,
how little they care. You know, and that woman from Univision. Every time she opened her mouth, she discredited what it means to be an immigrant. Every time she opened up her mouth, talking about, you know, lots of immigrants are afraid of being deported. And now, if you're a dummy, and if you are steeped in the American public school system, that is something that you hear every day. So that is you hear it coming out of her mouth. You understand? Oh yes, immigrants are under attack. You're like, oh, really? Really, immigrants? What are we talking about here? No distinction. Joe Biden made a big mistake called them undocumented aliens. That was bad. Of course, it was a flub on his
from back in the day.
Yeah, I'm sure he had to go to confession after that one. And
here, this is pretty much the debate last night. Listen to this. This is insanity. Hold on. Listen.
You said
we've been watching the Post political factors wrong a whole lot of times.
But no, are they wrong on that, Bernie? Joe, did you miss?
Wait a minute. I'll answer your question. You answer mine.
I answered yours.
No, you didn't.
All right.
One more time. Were you on the floor time to time for whatever reason?
This is the bickering back and forth between
that was about Social Security, right?
Yes. 90-year-old men, 80-year-old men bickering back and forth. It sounds like someone said it sounds like they're bickering over bingo. I said it sounds more like they're bickering like over whose grass is overreaching somebody else's fence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I can cut the leaves on your pear tree. It is over my fence.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was listening to that and it's even back to the immigration thing there too. And it's not just how stupid that they both are, the candidates, but how insidious the hosts are. First of all, to say, you know, to ask both of these candidates about their stances on protecting immigrants and sanctuary cities. I'm saying, well, if you are an immigrant citizen, you don't need sanctuary from deportation. Like, does anybody even really try to put the puzzle pieces together and see whether or not but they don't care. Then again, if you do that, they don't care.
Yeah.
Running across the border and claiming squatters' rights is like, you know, touching home base in a game of tag, I guess. And now all of a sudden you're here. You can't be, you know, I'm on the home base. It's sad. And then at the same time, everybody's wringing their hands over how we can keep ourselves safe from outbreaks of diseases.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Gloves, hand sanitizer, don't touch your face, wash your hands, things you should normally be doing.
And making sure that you have a little bit less than 40 million undocumented people in your country that you have no record of, aside from social media.
Other than that, also just make sure you don't have 40 million rolls of toilet paper because other people need it too.
Yeah.
Goodness me, oh my.
Yeah.
Goodness me, oh my. Everybody really liked our little comic skit on Friday.
Which one?
The one where I played Dana Carvey and you talked about.
That was fun. Yeah. I love that one. That was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a few more clips from this debate. Hold on.
We can do that. We did that. We've been through this before with the coronavirus. We've been through this before. We've been through this before with dealing with the viruses that the N1H15, as well as what happened in Africa. We provided these hospitals dealing
the
with
N1H1
these
virus,
great
Frank.
Yeah.
Pandemics.
And we were able to do Africa. It quick. And I love how Joe also at the end of right before I gave up, he was talking about Brazil and the Amazon rainforest and the millions or billions that had to be sent there as if, you know, it's the 51st state. Once again, I can't stand listening to everybody does it. Both parties. That's why I say it's, you know, if we're trying to make a decision right now as to whether or not, you know, we're going to swallow one substance or the other, the Republican candidates are objectively better than Democrat candidates, but they all have the same problem. They look at the world as if it's an extension of the United States and out the money that we generate here needs to be used to make it better elsewhere. Even though we're in massive amounts of debt and we've got tons of problems, especially domestically. I can't stand it. And then the Ebola crisis, he keeps bringing up there too, how he handled the Ebola crisis as vice president for Barack Obama. There was no Ebola crisis in the United States if it weren't for the Obama administration importing Ebola patients. Ebola.
Right. Right.
You okay?
We
had two cases or something in this country and they're only here because we imported them.
Literally imported them on purpose.
Look, we have a great idea. Let's cross the ocean and take people out of Africa and bring them here.
Who are sick with a virus that eats your insides out. Yes. Literally.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we survived the Ebola crisis. No thanks to you people.
Here's a borders clip.
If you had to, would you close down the borders?
No.
That's it.
That's it.
Then we've got this.
You were in the Center for a few years.
Yeah.
Time and time again, talking about the necessity with pride about cutting Social Security, cutting Medicare, cutting veterans programs.
No.
You never said that.
No. I tried with Senator Grassley back in the 80s to freeze all government spending, including Social Security, including everything.
About cutting Social Security, cutting Medicare, cutting veterans programs.
No.
No. No. You want to go outside, Bob?
You want to go outside, Bob?
You're full of shit. Buy it, Bernie. You're full of shit. Bernie O'Sanders.
God.
Now, one more thing for you. One more thing that I shared last night, which I think is really, really, really good. Here we go.
We're starting to see a message. This is all happening at a time that we're starting to see a message shift here, because you're starting to hear the Republicans, especially Trump Co., calling it the Wuhan or the Chinese coronavirus. They're looking for someone to blame.
Concern is growing this morning over an outbreak of a new SARS-like virus in China. At least six people have died from the Wuhan coronavirus. The Wuhan coronavirus, the Wuhan coronavirus.
The 34-year-old ophthalmologist diagnosed Saturday with the Wuhan coronavirus.
Wuhan virus.
The Wuhan coronavirus.
The Wuhan coronavirus. What more can you tell us about the similarities or differences between SARS and the Wuhan coronavirus?
The Wuhan coronavirus.
The Wuhan coronavirus in China.
The Wuhan coronavirus.
The Wuhan
You get the picture.
Yeah, please send that to me. There's just such clownish people. That's why I have had a hard time muzzling myself and voicing my disdain for their very existence. They're not press. They are the fifth column, and they are just an extension of all of the everything that's wrong inside of government. They're just clownish people. Clownish people. To think that we're not cognizant enough to see how they change positions, why they change positions, and how comfortable they are with just like disrespecting themselves. They disrespect themselves. It's like watching people walk around every day dumping buckets of shit on top of their own heads. It's like they make themselves into circus sideshows, and they demean themselves in such humiliating public ways. You know, it's not even like you get caught in a private relationship. You know, you lie or something like that, or you fudge the truth here or there. And it's something that you have to deal with privately. They publicly humiliate themselves every day.
And it doesn't seem like you just said. It doesn't seem like it matters.
Well, yeah, because at the same time, they have been pretty effective in driving everyone insane. At least for the last couple of weeks, insane with fear. It's one of those boy who cried wolf things.
Yeah, it's getting more dangerous that way, because if anything ever did happen where they needed to get us messages, we're not going to listen to them. We're just not.
And that's why they have a little bit of credence in saying, oh, everybody thinks everything's a hoax. Well, I mean, you're the ones who have hoaxed us time and time again. Time and time again, they forget over and over again, whether it be Stormy Daniels or net neutrality or, I mean, North Korea, that was going to be the end of us all. Adam Schiff had concrete evidence of Russia that was coming out at any day now for 3.5 years. They destroyed Brett Kavanaugh with nothing. They went to Thailand too. They went to Bangkok. They were conned to go out to Bangkok to interview a Russian hooker who knew that the American media was so stupid. She knew that the American media was so stupid she might actually be able to get bailed out of jail. They went to Bangkok.
And whatever happened with her, she just disappeared.
She's probably a cam girl somewhere.
Yeah, in jail. She was in jail. She was in jail. You knew that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where they went out to go. Not only that, where was it that the press went to go dumpster diving, that they actually jumped into a dumpster? looking through garbage. What did that happen?
I believe it did, and I don't remember exactly where. I
hold on.
You'll find it.
She goes dumpster. Hold on. No, dumpster diving over Russia. Let me see. I had to figure it out. Oh wait, hold on.
You got it.
Daily Caller. let me see here. This is from February 19th, 2018. Headline, CNN reporter literally goes dumpster diving for collusion evidence in St. Petersburg. Special counsel Robert Mueller indicted 13 Russian nationals on Friday for attempting to influence the outcome, blah, blah, blah. CNN is doubling down on its coverage of possible collusion between Kremlin and Trump. In fact, the network sent chief international correspondent Matthew Chance to St. Petersburg, Russia, to literally dig through the garbage of an office building housing the alleged troll farm in order to try and find some clues. Here's some quotes. This is the office in which that atmosphere of chaos was stoked from the Russian side, Chance told guest host Jim Sciutto. That's why 13 Russian individuals, including financial benefactor, blah, 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 are indicted. You look through the trash there? Sciutto shot back. What did you find? Yes, we did, Chance answered with his tail between his legs. We came here expecting to find the office to be empty. But in fact, all day here, we have been we've been here throughout the course of the day. People have been going in and out. We went to the trash can to see what we can find with old people dumping rubbish there. New computers are being delivered here and they're throwing away with rubbish.
Frank, it's what I look around and I look at my kids and I'm like, they're living through this crazy. They don't really get it all that much yet. My daughter does, not so much my son. And I'm like, this is the most, it is the upside down. It really is upside down world. It really is. There's no other word to explain what's been happening over the past 4 years. There really isn't. I don't know how else to say it. Does that make, did you agree with me? Like every time I think it can't get worse, it just gets worse.
Yeah.
With the stupid, especially the stupid.
It's going to get worse than that, though, because the only reason why this is all happening in the way that it's happening is because time is running out.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said it before. They had enough tricks up their sleeve, obviously, and they're just unscrupulous people. They have they had more than enough up their sleeve to be able to waste 4 years. And to do some kind of a, you know, plug your ears, la, 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 I can't hear you kind of song and dance for 4 years. But it couldn't happen for another four. It can't. At least I tell myself that, hoping for the best. But then again, you know, we've had this laptop since October 2016. Why do you sit on something like that?
Yeah. Until Wednesday, Frank.
Yes, until Wednesday.
You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. You guys can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Wednesday.
Later.
This is a Landry Football Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
One of the big storylines has been, will be, until he makes a decision, is Tom Brady. Where is he gone? Is he gone back to New England? What's the situation there? What about this? This team's interested. They're floating out information. What does all this mean? Folks, let's break it down. When you hear things such as the Patriots are prepared to pay him $25 million, you know, but the Raiders might be willing to go as high as 30. And that's all being floated out by his representative, Don Yee, and his entourage to the media. This is no doubt an effort to try to increase the price with the Patriots. Now, I'm not saying that the Patriots are going to meet that price. If it is about the price, he very well may have to leave and go somewhere for the money. If an extra $6 million a year means that much to him, he may end up having to do that. Don't know. It's obviously he's trying to do two things, Tom Brady is, to increase the amount of offer from the Patriots, one, but at the same time, try to grease the skids of, look, if he leaves, it's not my fault. I'd rather stay here, but they don't want me type approach. I don't think the Patriots, certainly Bill Belichick doesn't play that game. He's going to do and make an offer. I do think, I have thought, and I continue to think, that they will make a good offer to Tom Brady, and in the end, he'll probably stay in New England.
The Landry Football Podcast with veteran scout and coach Chris Landry can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.